Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Right here. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on a Wednesday. Is everybody listening right now on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn Radio, on terrestrial radio stations? As my compadre Mike Blewett would say, thank you. Thank you for listening to FST right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is a Wednesday, so no Mike Blewett. You got Dane Martinez, the spitting statistician, and the king, Scott Engel. We're going to be previewing all the Week 7 games. And I got to let people know here on Wednesday, what we do is we take the two-hour block that is Roto Experts in the Morning and FST, and we take the opportunity to give you our early leans and thoughts on all of those Week 7 games. And I'm doing it with my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, the king, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you doing today?
Doing good. Getting ready for Week 7. Don't forget, go out and check your waiver lists and see who people dropped.
Absolutely. We were mentioning that last hour. Listen, with the buys and injuries at this point, owners have to make interesting decisions, okay? Sometimes they're painted into a corner, and sometimes the guy they have to drop is someone who is definitely rosterable. So don't only look at the available players like on a Monday and go ahead and try to plan your waiver wire order. You got to pay attention to the people who have been dropped because you may want to pick them up. For example, Scotty, I had a listener yesterday tell me that they went ahead and dropped Ito Smith. I was like, oh my goodness, you got to go try and get him back. And one of the reasons is because Devontae Freeman has been sent to IR in a move that, listen, the fantasy executive, the spitting statistician, the king, Dr. A, and everybody else on this network was telling you we are concerned about Devontae Freeman, and he now goes to IR, basically rendering his fantasy season over. Scotty, how do we play the Atlanta running backs moving forward?
Neither one of them has been gaining a lot of yardage. Tevin Coleman has been getting in the end zone, both as a runner and as a receiver, but he's had mid-30-yard games in two high-scoring affairs. And you know, then you got Ito Smith, who has 62 rushing yards in his last three games, but he scored in all of them. You know, this is going to be a pass-first team, and you know, you're going to have to hope they're continuing to score 35, 40 points so both running backs can get goal line carries. You know, Coleman is going to be 19 in my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com today, but, you know, it's a shaky 19 because right. He's got to run with the opportunity at this point. This is his last chance, I think. Otherwise, Ito Smith could creep up on him and have Ito Smith at 28.
Interesting. So I know we just made that point last hour. You never know what's going to happen a month from now. You know what I mean, Scotty? But if I told you, if you assume this as fact, it's true, that in the fantasy playoffs, one Atlanta running back would be an RB2 and the other Atlanta running back would not be startable, which Atlanta running back do you think would be an RB2 in week 13?
It's Coleman, obviously, yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's obviously. It sounds like you think maybe he's going to fade and Ito Smith might take over.
That's what I'm trying to get at. I think it would be obvious, yeah.
But, like, it sounds, though, Scott, what you're saying is you think there's a chance that, you know, Tevin Coleman continues to defecate the mattress with his opportunity and that Ito Smith kind of ascends over him. Is there a chance that Ito Smith becomes the A-side here moving into the future?
Yeah, but I don't know how much upside there is on the A-side. You know, gotcha. With either one of them right now.
All right, fair enough. Listen, another piece of news that I want to bring to people that broke since after we spoke yesterday morning. John Gruden is saying that he has concern about Marshawn Lynch's groin injury. Listen, the Raiders have a bye, okay, so he'll have some extra time. The flight back home from London probably won't help, but that's another thing altogether. Talk about player safety in the NFL. But are you concerned about Lynch's groin injury? Do you think you need to go out and grab Jalen Richard, or is the fact that there's a bye kind of in between before we even know more about beast mode, does that temper your concerns about this?
Not at all. You know, we don't know the extent of the injury. You know, they're saying it's pretty serious, but at the same time, it might be a strain. So, yeah, it's not a season ender, it doesn't look like, but you can't think about the bye week. You have to go and make preventative measures right now. In one league, I actually picked up both Jalen Richard and Doug Martin, you know, because it could be Martin taking over the Lynch role, but Richard's been putting up better numbers and could see a little bit of increase, and plus game script would favor Richard more because the Raiders play from behind so much.
Right. It's almost like you have a rare opportunity to get kind of like both sides of a timeshare on the waiver wire. You know what I mean? In the middle of a season. And that is a unique opportunity. So something you want to look at. Scotty, in last hour, we broke down, you know, almost half the games already. We talked about potential cut candidates, how Royce Freeman is a potential cut candidate. We talked about how Deion Lewis is a potential cut candidate. We talk about how, you know, the Chargers are something of a fantasy herd. You can't rely on any of these wide receivers, but Phillip Rivers will continue to throw it. We talked about how we expect points to be scored in Tampa when Cleveland comes to town. You know, we talk about how, don't get it twisted, Christian McCaffrey is still an RB1, especially in PPR formats. We talked about how the Indianapolis Colts are a great streaming defense potentially this week against whoever is the quarterback for Buffalo. I want to keep it going into other games, Scotty. And this one, I might have my judgment clouded here, so I think I need you to check me on this. The New York Jets are 4-point home dogs, Scotty. They are home dogs against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, honestly, you know how I was on the Vikings early in the season, but I was concerned about that offensive line. And then, listen, this Vikings team has underperformed, quite frankly. And so what I want to ask you is, are the Jets a live dog here? Listen, the Jets have looked good in their last two home games, putting up over 34 points in both of those efforts. I believe they can get pressure on Kirk Cousins. You know, this offense has been Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and not a whole lot else. I kind of think the Jets are a live dog. Is this a homer perception for me in this one? The Jets are getting 4 points at home.
No, it's not a homer perception. You know, Minnesota's defense hasn't been good as we've expected. They're 18th ranked.
Right.
But the Jets' defense is 23rd ranked. So, you know, it comes down to which team has the better quarterback, I think. And it's definitely Kirk Cousins. The Jets' defense is opportunistic. They play better than expected. Minnesota's defense is just better personnel, so it almost kind of evens out for me there. I don't trust Latavius Murray to get the running game going, but then again, I can't trust Isaiah Crowell. So, you know, which quarterback am I going to trust more with the game on the line? I think it's Kirk Cousins, so, you know, I'm going to have to take Minnesota.
Okay, fair enough. But if you think the game is going to be on the line, in that case, isn't 4 points really important to have? You know what I mean? If you think this is going to be some kind of back-and-forth kind of game or a last team with the ball kind of game with bad defenses, if this could be like a 31-28 kind of game, wouldn't you take the points then? Isn't 4 points good to have there at home?
It is. I think it's a very smart spread. But I just think there could be more than one turnover by Sam Darnold. This is a very tough spread, though, because Minnesota could win by a field goal. If you're fine taking the home dog, you know, I'm okay with it. I don't think the Jets will win the game, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them cover and thinking it through. So I'm okay with taking the Jets.
So when you said I'm taking Minnesota, you meant just like to win the game outright. You didn't mean to win the game.
Oh,
okay, fair enough. Okay, let me ask you this:
I'm gonna have to go back and forth on this. I'll get back to you with it on Friday.
No problem. Yeah, we'll make our official picks on Friday.
I've done some more studying. Yeah.
I hear you, Scotty. Talk to me about these Jets wide receivers. Quincy Inunua got banged up. You know, Jermaine Kearse got back in the flow. Robbie Anderson, Terrell Pryor's out there. If there's no Quincy Inunua, who does Sam Iam target? Who would you like to see out of these Jets?
I think it's Jermaine Kearse. I think you know he's owned in I think just 0.9% of leagues right now, and you know that's on ESPN. And last week he immediately stepped into the void and caught 9 passes for over 90 yards. I don't think Sam Darnold is a consistent deep thrower, and I don't think Robbie Anderson is a guy who's consistently going to catch slants and things like that, possession-type passes. So I think it's definitely Jermaine Kearse. Terrell Pryor, it's really about his health right now, but I think he's on the radar. But I really think it's Jermaine Kearse. He played well at times last year, occasionally, where he kind of when he came to them early. And he's a veteran receiver. You know, runs, knows how to run good routes, fundamentally strong, usually a better NFL player than a fantasy player, but they need him to step up, and I think Jermaine Kearse is a real strong pickup if you don't get, say, a Taylor Gabriel or Christian Kirk off the waiver wire this week.
All right, fair enough. I like that. You're absolutely right. Jermaine Kearse as the veteran, the route runner, the chain mover, as it were. And I think the point you make is interesting. Sam Darnold is not Pat Mahomes. You know what I mean? He's not the gunslinger. He's not the deep thrower. He's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know what I mean? And by the same token, you know who else he's not in that vein? Josh McCown. Last year, Josh McCown was the kind of guy who would chuck it up to Robbie Anderson. And that really boosted some of Robbie Anderson's numbers last year. Sam Darnold is much more Alex Smith than Pat Mahomes, if that, you know, kind of continuum makes sense to you. So
yeah,
that
I'll
could
take
be
him
part
over
of the
Alex
reason.
Smith.
No, again,
he's not a Tannehill type, no.
That's not what I'm talking about. It's like him up against it. I'm talking about in only the question of are you conservative to are you a chuck it down the field kind of thrower. I'm just building those as like landmarks in that continuum, Scott. That's it.
I think there's a different kind of quarterback, though. In between those two is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, that's what Sam Darnold is, a mobile guy who spreads the football around, takes advantage of high percentage situations, and will once in a while gun it deep. You know, he's more that type of quarterback.
Okay, fair enough. What I'll say though is he still, like you said, guns it deep every now and then. That is less than like a guy like Josh McCown was for the Jets last year, and so that's still part of the reason.
Yeah, certainly.
Right, and that's why I'm saying. I'm trying to read into some of the reasons why Robbie Anderson is not performing like he was last year, and I'm talking about the tendency of Sam Darnold to not be as much of a gunslinger. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, cool. Let me ask you last thing on this game. On the Minnesota side, Scott, what are we – like, is Dalvin Cook going to play? Is Lat Murray going to get the lion's share? Like, if you listened to us last week, you know, I was touting how worried I was about Dalvin Cook, whether this pitch count thing is going down or not. But Latavius Murray responded with 155 yards and a touchdown. Is there a chance that happens again this week?
I can't give you information on what's not out there. We don't know what the latest report on Dalvin Cook is. But I wouldn't trust Latavius Murray in any matchup. Yeah, he had the blow-up game last week, but you know, not over 45 yards at any other. So I don't think it's going to be easy to run on the Jets as it was the Cardinals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't trust Lat Murray, but what you can trust is Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Scott has said they're the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL. I tend to agree. Maybe the combo in Pittsburgh would have something to say about that. But listen, you can't trust Lat Murray. You can trust Thielen and Diggs on a week-to-week basis. Run them out there with confidence. We got a caller on the line, Scotty. Let's take our caller. We got Patrick in Florida here on FST. What's going on, Patrick? How can we help you get a W in week 7 and beyond?
Yeah, so I had a question about a possible trade looking to make. I picked up Rashard off the waiver wire, and I was thinking about offering the Marshawn Lynch owner Rashard and Landry for Robert Woods.
Rashard and Landry for Robert Woods. You could try it, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I don't think it would get done unless he's one of those owners who's just not giving Robert Woods the respect right now. But if anybody is smart and they look at the statistics, they'll see that right now that Robert Woods is the 7th highest ranked scoring wide receiver in fantasy football. He's outscored Juju Smith-Schuster, A.J. Green, Stephon Diggs, Odell Beckham. So if it's you have to know the mentality of that owner. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I think any savvy owner would definitely tell you no, because you're giving me a waiver pickup and you're giving me a guy who's good but doesn't get in the end zone and is coming off a bad game. If the guy's anything of a savvy, experienced owner, he's going to say no. But if you think this guy's a neophyte or, you know, he doesn't study enough, then I would go ahead and see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott, on this one. Because also, listen, part of the reason you're targeting Robert Woods, Patrick, is because you know Robert Woods' opportunity is growing now, especially with Kupp, you know, banged up as well. If you know that, the other guy probably knows that also, and it's probably going to be very unlikely to want to deal Woods. What else you got there, Patrick, real quick?
Yeah, I was wondering, so if that trade wasn't to go through, who would you start, Godwin or Landry this week?
I would still start Landry. You know, against that that Tampa Bay defense, just too good of a matchup. More volume.
I agree. I would go with Juice Landry. Maybe he'll bless him as well. Thanks for the call there, Patrick. Call on back any time. Scotty, one more game I want to talk about real quick here. Houston Texans in an AFC South matchup. By the way, don't look now, but the Houston Texans at 3-3. Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe, are also 3-3. You know, Tennessee is middling along. The Colts are middling along. This is a big matchup in the AFC South, Scott. Houston Texans go to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. The Jags are -5 here in this game. Scott, I'm worried about Deshaun Watson's health in this one.
Yeah, I would be. You know, Inside Injuries was saying last week that if he takes a blow to, like, the wrong place, that he could come out of the game. So I think it's definitely
Saxonville delivers
be
blows.
Concerned about. Yeah, you know, they there's a theory that they're going to come out angry after last week. But you know, DeAndre Hopkins is going to get his.
Yep.
On the other side, dude, this could end up being a defensive battle.
It could be, right? But like I said, here's the thing. Listen, the Houston Texans are giving up 7 sacks like a game. And now we have Saxonville coming in. I am really worried. What would you think? What would I have to set the over-under on sacks of, Scott, for you to take the under? Like, if I said 7.5 sacks for the Jaguars this week, you take the over on the under or the over on that?
I'm going to take the under. I think it's going to be about 6.5 to 7.
Wow. All right, real quick, before we go to break, we got our guy Kenny in Philly on the line. Hey, Cowboy, how you doing? We're up against the break, my friend, but I want to get you in here on FST. What's going on, Kenny?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just called to throw dirt on more Scott for the Rams and Broncos there, brother. That nice backdoor cover worked out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That back door was open, huh, Kenny? The back door was open, right?
Yeah,
the Rams were clearly proved they were the better team, though. Everything you were saying, though, you acted like they were going to lose.
No, we were talking about the home dogs is what we were talking about.
Three games to
but
watch
Scotty,
this
we're
week.
Up against... Yeah, what you got?
Three games to watch this week here. It's a big game for Cincinnati here. For my going to Baltimore and Minnesota on the road. So three games to watch. I'll call you guys later back on the week. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Scotty. Sorry.
I'm like the fantasy executive here.
Yeah, we were up against the break, so sorry about that. Yeah, the three games to watch. I'm interested on what you think about those games, but as you know, Kenny, call on back anytime. We are up against the break, so when we come back, here's what we're going to do. We got the afternoon games to talk about, okay? We got Saints-Ravens, Cowboys-Washington, Rams-49ers. We'll talk about all of those games in our next segment, and then we'll finish off the show with Sunday night and Monday night football. Looking at that, we'll also take your calls. Remember, the number to call is 844-843-6877. You can find us on Twitter as well, at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. That's how we do it here on FST, taking you through all the Week 7 matchups. We look at the late afternoon kicks when we come back. The Spittin' Statistician and El Rey de Fantasia. Come on back and join the fun.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
You know what it is. We're trying to deliver the message here, Scott. That's what it comes down to, and I know you know about that here on FST. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how to keep from going under. You know what I'm saying? And what we're trying to do here, Scotty, we're trying to keep fantasy teams from going under. You are still in contention. Go ahead and look at Jalen Richard, Christian Kirk, Ito Smith, or whatever you got to do. Jameis Winston. to try to help you win your leagues and win that cash. Scotty, let's use this segment to go through the three afternoon games, the late afternoon kicks here on the East Coast. The first one I want to talk about, New Orleans Saints against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are at home, where they are a much better team. The Saints are on the road, where they, in my opinion, are a much less dynamic team. Scotty, you said this week that, you know, there's no such thing as a dominant defense anymore, and the Ravens may be the only kind of stable defense. They do, Scott, in six games, have four shutouts, I think, or something like that. Like, that's ridiculous. They're playing really, really well. Are they going to hold up against the Saints now, who are fully loaded with Mark Ingram back?
The Saints won't be as explosive as they will at home, obviously, but, you know, this is the first good offense that the Ravens are facing at home. And, you know, they did give up, even though they did hold the Steelers to 14 points 2 weeks ago, they did give up 34 to Cincinnati. So they're not going to shut them down, and you can't worry about your top Saints. You know, you roll out everybody there, the Breeze, Kamara, Ingram, Thomas. Yep. But anybody else, you can feel free to bench them. But I don't think they're going to hold them to 14 points.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. Are you completely fine starting the Baltimore Ravens defense this week?
Sacks and turnovers are really about what it is. And with Drew Brees' quick release and the way he can pick apart a defense, I'm not in favor of it.
Okay, so we are not recommending to start the only defense we think left may be a stably good defense.
There's no set it and forget it defenses anymore. Yep.
All right, fair enough. Hey, talk to me about the Baltimore Ravens side on offense. Listen, Scott, I had to acknowledge last night on Fantasy Freestyle, you know what I do is I talk about what I got right and what I got wrong, and I had to acknowledge one of the things I got wrong was the balance of Alex Collins and Buck Allen last week. We were all on Alex Collins, you know, the fumbling issues, John Harbaugh saying you can't have it. We thought this Buck Allen ascension may have continued. Buck Allen wound up with one carry for 1 yard, something like less than 20 yards in the passing game, and Alex Collins gets two touchdowns, 50-some-odd yards. Most importantly, no fumbles that I think about, right? So now let's revisit this running back situation in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's Collins got the two touchdowns last week, and he's always going to have a nice run or two every week. He's touchdown-dependent, but he's getting the chances. He got most of the chances last week. It was very encouraging to see him get two touchdowns, and you got to start him this week. He's going to finish off a lot of drives for me. I like watching Alex Collins. Every time he runs the ball, he's got good juke. He's got good vision. He runs hard, and he doesn't look like a strong running back, but he'll push the pile, and he'll take people on. He's a fun running back to watch, and you know, he was a fun running back to own last year, but you know, he was drafted more as an RB2, but I think he's a nice flex. And if he's a buy, if you got somebody on a buy this week, you could definitely pop him in.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're without James Conner this week, if you're without Aaron Jones this week, if you're without Marshawn Lynch this week, Alex Collins, definitely someone you can certainly pop in. Scott, let me ask you this. About a month ago, this is what I said, like, you can't tell what's going on, you know, a month from now. About a month ago, Scott, we were talking about Joe Flacco looking good. You know, Joe Flacco starting to impress. You know, Joe Flacco with the urgency because Lamar Jackson in the rearview mirror, all that stuff. It looks like Joe Flacco's starting to come back down to earth a little bit. We kind of know he is who we thought he was. That being said, how do you view Joe Flacco right now, say, vis-a-vis a Mitchell Trubisky, who you say is sort of on the incline? Who do you have higher, Flacco or Trubisky?
Yeah, definitely Trubisky by a few spots right now. I'm going to lock it in officially after the show. But you know, Joe Flacco has certainly started to dip, and Mitchell Trubisky has now outscored both Flacco and Russell Wilson. You're looking at Flacco with two sub-12-point games in a row, an ESPN standard scoring. You know, but it doesn't matter because when it's PPR or not, doesn't matter for a quarterback. Sure. But, you know, the point is that he's been starting to fall off.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. You have mentioned when Flacco was playing better. You know, it's a similar question I'm going to ask you about Trubisky, right? Like, I asked you that now that you think Trubisky's getting better and better, if he's moving up, is there the ripple effect with some of his pass catchers, right? And you said, yeah, for Robinson or Gabriel. Now I'm going to ask you the same thing about Flacco in the other direction. If he's starting to trend down again, what are the impact on the pass catchers? Specifically, Scott, a guy you were high on about a month ago was John Brown, right? And he was scoring touchdowns in every game, that sort of thing. It hasn't happened more recently. So are you also downgrading the Willie Sneeds and the, you know, John Browns and Michael Crabtrees of the world as it correlates to Joe Flacco?
Well, the other two was they weren't high for me.
Fair enough.
At all. You know, Crabtree was a guy that's like four catches for 50 yards every week. And Sneed is pretty much the same. You know, maybe 5 for 40. They're both those kind of guys. Crabtree had a really good game and a really good matchup, but you don't see that too often. You know, John Brown's probably going to get kicked out of my top 25 this week.
All right, fair enough. Scotty, I got to let the people know, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest the players that you want without salary caps. If you sign up for a new account now, use the promo code FNTSY and you'll get a 50% deposit bonus. All right, that is FNTSY upon sign up. Go on over to mybookie.ag. And start winning today. Scotty, as I go on over to mybookie.ag, I see a battle in the NFC East coming up this week. The Dallas Cowboys travel to our nation's capital to take on the Washington football team. Scotty, is what we saw last week out of Dallas the beginning of a trend? Is Dak going to run around a little bit more? Is he going to spread the ball around and be driven by Ezekiel Elliott? Is the Dallas offense, you know, should we expect there to be a better version of this Dallas offense in our nation's capital this week?
I think so. I think so at home, at least. Well, I'll put it this way. We'll see Dak running more because I think it puts extra pressure on the defense. But I wouldn't be trusting this passing game, especially on the road. The Cowboys play better at home. They're on the road. They've only scored 37 points in 3 road games.
All right, let's look at the other side of this ball real quick. On the Washington side, listen, a lot of people are banged up. Last week, though, I was like, oh, no Thompson, no Crowder, they're banged up. No way they beat Carolina. And then they turned around and they beat Carolina. So this offense is kind of surprising to me. Adrian Peterson gutting it out. You know, we're finding guys like Vernon Davis, you know. How do you read the tea leaves on this Washington offense? I would say, honestly, there's not many people I like. I would start Chris Thompson. I would, if he plays, I would start Jordan Reed, and that might be about it.
Yeah, and Jordan Reed has been a little bit disappointing. He still did get you 8 PPR plus points last week, but you know, Vernon Davis is cutting into it a little bit. Adrian Peterson has rushed for over 90 yards in 3 of his 5 games, so you continue to work, roll him out there. Chris Thompson needs to get back in there, but this is a very limp offense right now, and you don't want any of those wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is not something I am targeting. Let's go to the last late afternoon kick on the East Coast. It is a West Coast game. The Los Angeles Rams travel to San Francisco to take on the 49ers, Scott, and C.J. Beathard, and I guess Breida and Mostard and Marquise Goodwin. Let's start there. Marquise Goodwin, man, he was banged up for a little while. But is he the number one? He's the number one wide receiver in San Francisco over Pierre Garçon. It sounds like he's the guy to own there in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, Pierre Garçon's not even rosterable. He didn't do anything last week. C.J. Beathard, actually ranked right number 19. Good QB2, nice streamer this week against the Rams' 29th ranked defense. Marquise Goodwin was just injured, and now he's healthy, and he's clearly the number one big play guy. Don't sleep on Kendrick Bourne, though, either. You know, it's Kendrick Bourne has been catching some important passes. I think if I wanted another wide receiver in a desperation situation there, it'd probably be Kendrick Bourne.
Okay, good name to watch. Keep an eye out on that. And then, listen, we talked about how Raheem Mostert is was a top waiver ad for us this week. This renders Alfred Morris useless, droppable, dumpster fire. Gone? Done? Fugazi?
Well, this is a kind of weird situation where you can see Mostert back on the bench and Morris back in the mix all of a sudden. But I think that team demonstrated too much overall speed with Mostert and Breida running the ball. So, yeah, I'm going to lead towards Mostert right now. I'm going to have 42nd in my in-season ranks, and I think I'm going to have Morris like 60th.
All right, and then with the Rams, we know this. One of the best offenses in football cannot be stopped. Todd Gurley with 200 yards last week. We know about Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff may lead the NFL in passing yards right now. He did, at least going into last week. We know about this fantasy herd. Cooper Kupp looks like he's going to miss time. So does that just mean we love Woods and Cooks even more? Or does that mean Josh Reynolds is on our radar?
The problem with Jared Cook, though, from a fantasy perspective, is Todd Gurley gets the ball so much near the goal line.
Jared Goff, you mean?
No, I'm saying it's bad for Goff because, because Gurley, like, first and goal from the 8 is like first and goal from the 1 for him.
Right.
And he's just going to get in the end zone so much. It hurts Goff from a touchdown perspective. That's why he's outside my top 10 at quarterback. He's still top 12, but you don't get the touchdowns enough. You know, that's the problem with him. We're not going to see Kupp. Go to Inside Injuries on rotoexperts.com this morning. They're saying that his optimal recovery time is like 4 weeks. So they're saying that maybe he could be. And when you cut slice that down, maybe he missed 2 to 3 weeks because sometimes these guys come back earlier. You know, Inside Injuries talks about the optimal recovery time, but they come back before the optimal recovery time. And with this matchup against the 20th-ranked pass defense of the 49ers, which is looked worse than that, Josh Reynolds is definitely a streamer.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Can we make a note? Let's remember to ask Dr. A about this, because here's what I don't get, Scott. I mean, Cooper Kupp was carted off, right? We now hear he's missing whatever it is, say 3 to 4 weeks potentially. So how the hell did he come back in the game on Sunday? Is this just like adrenaline is an amazing thing? Like, if he is going to miss time, then it sounds like it was not the best decision to bring him back. We saw him off the cart. You know, we were like, oh, this is a long-term injury. And now we're hearing, the week later, hey, this may be a longer-term injury, or at least he might miss some time. So how the hell was he back on the field in Denver in the second half last week?
You know, that's why we're not medical experts, and guys like Dr. A is. We all assume, we can't assume anything. You know, we look at Matt Breida a few weeks ago. Oh, that's season-ending. He stayed in the game. You know, we can't just look at it with the naked eye and assume, up the cart's coming, his season's over. We've had two incidences with this year, Kupp and Aaron Rodgers, where the season is not over. So you can't
assume anything.
You can't assume anything until the final report.
Yeah, it's just interesting. But I want to ask, remind me, I want to ask Dr. A about that when we talk on Friday. Cooper Kupp gets carted off the field, right? We now hear he's out 3 to 4 weeks, yet somehow he made his way back into the game on Sunday. These things just don't make sense to me, how someone could, you know, we think he's out for a time, he comes on back in the second half, and then it turns out he is on time. Whatever drugs they got in the Rams locker room, I need some of those, to be quite honest, Scott, because it looks like it's doing real good stuff. Here's that what I would say, the adrenaline as well, absolutely. All right, one more thing before we go to break here, Scott, because we've done all the late afternoon games. In our final segment today, we'll talk about Sunday night football. We'll talk about Monday night football. I also want to ask you about another piece of news that I saw, not even from the NFL, that even adds to this narrative of how players are just out for themselves instead of their team. I want to get your thought on that a little bit later on. But one thing I want to mention that's interesting, we're going through all the lines of all the games, and there's one early game that we didn't touch because the line is not up on the board as of now, and it's Miami hosting the Detroit Lions. Coming off of their bye, the Detroit Lions, Matt Stafford, Jim Bob Cooter, and my guy Kerryon Johnson, they come into Miami to take on the Dolphins. The game is not on the board, Scott, right now. I can only imagine because Vegas doesn't know who the quarterback for the Dolphins is going to be. Is it going to be Ryan Tannehill or is it going to be Brock Osweiler? My question for you is, depending on who is under center for Miami, how does that change or does that change the fantasy outlook for any of these guys? Frank Gore, Kenny Stills, Kenyon Drake. Does it matter to you who's at quarterback for the Dolphins this week?
No, it doesn't, because, you know, with either one of these guys, you can get a good performance, you get totally mediocre. There's nothing to rely on in Miami right now. Albert Wilson has had 3 good games, but, you know, all the others have been quiet, so he's explosive half of the time. Kenny Stills has disappeared. You can't rely on Jakeem Grant anymore. There's no ceiling for Frank Gore. You can't trust Kenyon Drake, so I still don't want to run on any Dolphins.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So that's funny, right? So I agree kind of with you. So it makes me think, hey, Vegas, you can hang the number. It's fine. It's not a big difference. It doesn't matter who's there under center. But maybe they believe in Brock Osweiler after his 380 yards in a game against what we thought once was a strong defense in Chicago. But I digress. All right, Scotty, one other thing I wanted to ask you about the Rams 49ers game, because, you know, our guy Kenny in Philly called a little bit earlier. Remember when we were talking about, you know, the home dogs, right, and how you thought the Rams were just a much better team. Ultimately, the back door was open. The San Francisco 49ers are home dogs against these Los Angeles Rams. They are getting 9.5 points at home, Scotty. 9.5 points. This is now a division matchup, as you know. No Cooper Kupp for the Rams. Are you going to stay consistent with what you said against Denver? Like, they're just a far better team, so you'll lay over a touchdown on the road? Or are you coming around to this idea that the back door can always be open in these big spread home dog games? Who would you take in this game with a 9.5 point spread? Would you lay the 9.5 with the Rams, or would you take the home dog of San Francisco?
This is a division game. It could be competitive.
Yeah, it is.
And the Rams are 29th ranked on defense. And C.J. Beathard's playing better than people can give him credit for. He's no longer a punchline, at least for this year. So I'll take the Niners here.
Hey, you're coming over to my side of things on the home dogs.
Not to win. Not to win.
No, I understand. I'm not saying they're going to win either. Yeah. I'm saying that in a division matchup, the home team will keep it within double digits. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I could very easily see this being a, you know, 24-13 kind of game in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden the Rams just let C.J. Beathard go down the field, and there's a garbage time, meaningless touchdown to George Kittle that helps them cover. That's what I can see. We got primetime game still to preview. It's Dane and Scott on FST here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Give us a call if you want to join us as we put the fun in functional sports radio.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
FSC right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, spitting statistician NL Freddy Fantasia. Spending the last couple hours looking back at some of the injuries, what it means for waivers, what it means for the future moving forward as you continue to make your fantasy football playoff push. And then we've been looking at all the games in Week 7. Remember, four teams are on bye, two teams play in London. So we got a lot of stuff going on to discuss. Scotty, I want to talk about this Sunday night football game. Last week, Sunday Night Football, we thought there was going to be an offensive explosion. The total was at 60, and it went to 83, I guess it was, or 84, whatever it was there. Well, listen, I expect points to be scored in this one Sunday night as well. The Kansas City Chiefs are back at it on primetime, so Collinsworth can fawn over them and Patty Mahomes. They are 6.5 point favorites at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, another offense that we have had faith in moving forward. A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, we love Joe Mixon. You know, the total in this game is 58.5. So let's get the first thing first out of the way, Scotty. This game's going to go over because every game does, right?
Yeah, it does. And any game involving the Chiefs, you know, the over-under should be 75.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, so I wonder if this is going to get bet up at 58.5. It's one of the highest totals I've seen all year. But let's look inside deeper for the fantasy goodness here. Let's start. I mean, we know the Kansas City side, right? We're starting Patty Mahomes. We're starting Kareem Hunt. We're starting Travis Kelce. We're starting Tariq Hill. What about Sammy Watkins, Scotty? How do we feel about Sammy Watkins these days?
Sammy Watkins has had some good games, but then he put up a stinker last week in what we thought was a good matchup. he kind of fluctuates. He's on the he's a low end wide receiver three in a really good offense.
Yeah, absolutely. He is, like you said, a low-end wide receiver three, but you got to love the potential there, right? Because if the Chiefs are going to score, 37 points in a game, you got to, it's a better bet that the number three wide out there or number three option there is going to score some points there than, say, with, like, the Chicago Bears. You know what I mean? Or with
right.
another offense that you don't have faith in. Like, give me Sammy Watkins over a Kiki Kuti. Because I like the Chiefs' offense better than the Texans' offense overall.
It's
you got to think about
though.
The size of the pie. Yeah, but
it's
there's
close,
I mean,
I actually have Kiki QT one spot ahead of Sammy Watkins.
Really?
Because he's going to catch a lot of those short pop passes. I think he's a little bit more reliable than Sammy Watkins.
All right. Excuse me. I didn't get to the cough button in time. It's coming again. It's coming again, Scotty. I apologize for that. Oh, goodness.
The sneezing statistician.
I am the sneezing statistician. That's absolutely right. Let's talk about the Cincinnati side, brother. A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, we believe in those guys. Joe Mixon, we believe in. Do we love Andy Dalton in DFS this week up against the Chiefs?
I think you have to, but Andy Dalton's always dangerous. You always worry about it.
Right. I mean, just when you think you can trust him is when it turns out.
Last week,
cannot.
Two touchdown passes, we expected more.
Right. Well, he's going to be in a shootout, so the same kind of thing you're talking about like with the Bears playing catch-up and that being smart and good for Mitchell Trubisky, you got to assume that the Bengals are going to be, needing to throw the ball, and that should be good for Andy Dalton. Doesn't the same logic
hold there?
Here's
the thing, though.
What's up?
Here's the thing, though, that – they have a running back that they could really play ball control with, and that could also finish off drives with scoring runs. So it's that's the problem with Andy Dalton, say, as opposed to say Jameis Winston, where they don't have anybody to run the ball in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Remember,
I do recall Peyton
success.
Barber getting stuffed at the goal line last week.
Yeah. Remember, I talked about those conditions for success for the quarterback there, and one of them is the lack of the run game, and that's part of the reason why I love Andrew Luck, right? Because that same kind of thing, he's going to be putting it up, and I don't know that we trust the run game. Let me ask you about C.J. Uzomah. When Tyler Eifert went down, there was talk, was it Croft, is it Uzomah? I think, did he catch six balls in this game last week? I mean, that's not bad. In this day and age where tight end is a wasteland, how do you feel about Uzomah? Can you start him?
Yeah, 11 fantasy points last week, and when he didn't score a touchdown. And, these Cincinnati tight ends are always going to score touchdowns. So he's available in a lot of leagues. I would go out and grab him if you need tight end help. Your number one priority at tight end this week should be O.J. Howard, but he's a close second.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about some of those tight end names that are out there, and I think there's some viable guys that are out there. We talked about the Tampa Bay guys. You say Uzomah, Hooper, and Vance McDonald is on a bye, but I love Vance and the way he runs and the way he stiff arms guys down the sideline. Scotty, we got one more game to look at, that Monday night game, but I wanted to ask you about something that I saw first. This season, we see Le'Veon Bell. Holding out because, in essence, he wants to keep himself fresh for free agency, right? Like individual over team. You know what I mean? We see Earl Thomas, who was looking to hold out, similar kind of situation, right? Was worrying about himself and his market value long term. You know what I saw yesterday, Scott? And it's not even in the NFL. It's about someone who is going to have his name called in the NFL draft very early on in April. You know what I'm talking about, Scott?
Bosa, yeah.
Yeah. So Nick Bosa, right, of Ohio State, who many people project as the number one overall prospect, he's been dealing with one of those core muscle injuries, right? And Ohio State is a national championship contender. Anyone will tell you that. I think they're number three in the country right now under Urban Meyer. Everyone believes they're a playoff contender for the BCS. Nick Bosa, younger brother of Joey Bosa, is the number one kind of overall prospect. And he's saying now, with half the season left to go, I'm done with college football. I'm done with this. I'm just going to work out, get myself ready for the draft. We started to see this, Scott, a couple few years ago where people were just like, not participate in the bowl game for fear of injury? Remember, I mean, this might have started because after, like, Jake Butt got injured in that bowl game, Jalen Smith got injured in their bowl game, costing them millions. But this struck me as odd. You know, Nick Bosa, you know, out for self, saying, forget Ohio State, forget my college football career. I'm just going to end that and work out, preserve myself for the future, for the draft, for my career. Similar to Le'Veon Bell, similar to Earl Thomas, similar to others. This struck me. Are we just in a day and age, Scott, where athletes are it's completely fine for athletes to care about the name on the back of the jersey instead of the name of the front?
Athletes feel like, and Maurice Jones-Drew like echoed this about Le'Veon Bell, that you know that that football is a game, especially at the pro level, where you get cut at any time, and your career could be over at any time. So they're not going to always look out for your best interest. And, you know, the player has to look out for himself first. And, you know, this is not surprising. The fans don't take to it too well. They always side with the organization or the team because they don't have any sympathy for, you know, how much money these guys make. But they're just in a different rarefied air than we are.
No, that's absolutely true. And listen, I don't have an opportunity to go ahead and make $40 million, you know, between the ages of 22 and 26 in my life. So I understand that. You know, like, we're talking about very different things. But, like, is nothing sacred anymore? You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Like, this was not the case 10 years ago. Okay? And there was big money in professional sports 10 years ago. And athletes were commodities 10 years ago. But I think there's been a shift in this recently, Scott. Am I bugging? Or has there been a shift in this at the college level, guys skipping bowl games? Now Nick Bosa's being like, forget the last 7 games or whatever it is. Le'Veon Bell, Earl Thomas. There are other examples as well. Like, is this changing? Is this like a millennial thing? Like, what do you think this is all about, Scott?
Millennial in terms of age or just something that's happened
recently? Yeah, or just like a new societal culture thing. Like, is this just the way kids these days are thinking?
No. You know, as a Seahawks fan, I remember it when Joey Galloway held out for 8 games and didn't come back till the 9th week. You know, we've seen holdouts all the time. This is nothing new.
All right, fair enough. I think
in an age when social media has blown up, you hear about it more often.
Okay, that's fair. I just think Nick Bosa now taking it to the extreme. This isn't like just the bowl game. You know what I mean? This is him like, I'm done. I just want to be ready for the draft, you know, and I don't want to risk further injury. And like, you know, I hear it on some level, but like if you're one of Nick Bosa's like defensive Ohio State teammates, you got to be feeling the same way as Pittsburgh Steelers offensive linemen right now, right?
It took a while, you know, like 7 weeks for them to feel like that. Some of them do understand what he's going through at the same time. Like some of the Seahawks were talking about, you know, how they saw Earl Thomas's side of it. So it really depends on what player you talk to. You know, players think differently about this stuff than we do.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. Hey, the last game real quick, and we could probably be talking about it a lot. We'll talk about it even next Monday after most of Week 7 is in the books. But early thoughts here, Scotty, on the Giants going to Atlanta to take on the Falcons on Monday Night Football. The Falcons are 6.5-point favorites. Could it be possible that the best thing for the Giants is to get out of the New York City area?
Possibly. But playing on the road in that fast track in Atlanta, I don't think that helps either.
Sure, but this Atlanta defense we know can be had. We liked Jameis Winston and the Bucs against this Atlanta defense. In previous weeks, we liked the Cincinnati Bengals and Andy Dalton against
these Atlanta. Those are better quarterbacks than Eli Manning right now, though.
Okay, fair. That is true. But so you're not bumping up an Odell Beckham or a Saquon Barkley this week?
Saquon Barkley's up there no matter what. Look what he did last week with Eli play badly, and Odell's always got to be top 10, top 11, but, you know, it could be a game where Eli Manning, where he throws 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, you know, and Odell's got 1 or both touchdowns. You know, just because Odell Beckham's going to have a good game doesn't mean Eli is going to have a good game. Odell Beckham could go for 90 yards and a touchdown, and that could be 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions for Eli. And it's something to remember, too. It's like, yeah, people last week say, my opponent has Julio. Should I start Matt Ryan and cancel him out? And that's not how it works. You know, the one position doesn't cancel out the other, because one guy could have a good game and the other guy could have a bad game, and they don't cancel each other out.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. The last question I want to ask you here real quick before we turn it on over to Carton and Friends here for the next 3 hours, you know, Gabe Morency, Corey Parsons, and Michelle Serpico. Can you drop Sterling Shepard?
Yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, we thought this offense was going to be able to carry a lot of people, but Sterling Shepard really has not done it. Is he, like, where is he in your in-season ranks?
He's not in the top 40.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, how the mighty have fallen. We thought that was going to be a prolific offense, but it doesn't matter when your quarterback falls off the cliff, as people in their late 30s tend to do. All right, Scotty, that's 2 hours in the books. We'll be back tomorrow on Roto Experts in the morning. We'll look at your Week 7 matchup ranks, some ranks, who's high, who's low. That's what we'll do. And remember, we'll talk to Dr. A on Friday as well. Martin and Friends up next. Have a great day, Scott. Fantasy Sports Today on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Make it happen. Get those ranks up, Scotty. RotoExperts.com. In-season exclusive edge fantasy package. Enter the promo code THE KING at checkout.